This morning, I am drawing on the Christian Easter story of Jesus' last week. All the big stories in our human life are there because we can identify with some part of them, because they have deep meaning, and because they reveal parts of our human journey. The stories of Jesus of Nazareth and the Reverend Dr. Norbert Chapek are two of those big stories. This morning, through song and reflection, through story and ceremony, we will approach our theme this month of courage. The cycle of the Christian Easter story is a journey through anticipation to jubilation and then to betrayal, oppression, suffering, and death. And yet the final chapter of the story is one of transformation and renewal. Before we get to the last chapter of ascension and celebration, we need to start at the beginning. We can't eat our chocolate until we've cleaned up the kitchen. So we begin with acknowledging that we know about dark days, lonely days, stormy days. We know about days of sickness, days filled with loneliness, days of imbalance, days of disillusionment, days when we feel as dry as bones or as empty as a broken pot. And though our troubles are heavy, perhaps complex, we do go on. You go on. Gotten up when you were down, and you've gotten dressed when you didn't feel like you had the energy to do so. And you have reached out for help when loneliness weighed you down. You reached out for connection, reached out for understanding, reached out perhaps tentatively, reached out perhaps not even knowing why you were needing to reach out or what you might encounter. I ask you to remember for yourself a moment or two of darkness or loneliness, those dark winter times of our being, as we sing together the hymn, the song 1015, I Know I Can. I know that you will make these words personal, make them about you or someone close to you.
I'm just going to sing the chorus part for you. The chorus part repeats, so if you don't have a hymn book and you want to just join in on the chorus and hum along on the verse, you can do that too. So David, if we can just play the chorus part, please. And I'm going to sing that for you before we start. Though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. Please sing. Though days be dark with storms, and burdens weigh my heart. Though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. My sorrow heals my soul, and burdens make me strong.
troubles wait at every turn. I know I can go on. My sister in my heart, my brother in my song, though troubles wait at every turn, I know I will go on. Though the journey is long, the destination is near. Though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. So brother, take my hand, and sister, sing my song. When hope awaits at every turn, I know I will go on. When hope awaits at every tune, I know I will go on.
And we will go on, risking disappointment, risking betrayal, risking failure. We will go on risking our hopes and our visions and our tender hearts despite our fear. We will risk reaching out, and we will make friendships, and we will speak out on issues that we care passionately about. We will stand with our brothers and our sisters, and we will risk living into our very best hope, our heartfelt convictions. We will make both strong and weak choices. We will make promises and covenants, and we will sometimes break them and fail at our attempts. Going on doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean we won't fail ourselves. It doesn't mean we won't break those covenants. There will be times when our courage fails us, or when we fail our courage. And when we do, we will need to forgive. We will need to learn to forgive ourselves. And perhaps we will need to learn to forgive others. It's our work to forgive. At Passover supper, Jesus told his disciple Peter that Peter would deny him, would deny that he knew him. Not once, not twice, three times. Peter was absolutely shocked. Shocked that Jesus would think that he would. Peter loved and respected his teacher, and the thought of not having the courage to say that Jesus was his friend was absolutely preposterous. But the next day, Peter denied knowing Jesus when the heated crowd accused him of being one of those people. Peter, despite loving his friend, being devoted to him, despite having made a covenant with him to never abandon him, He did. His courage failed him. He broke the covenant. And when he realized what he had done, shame smacked him down, grabbed hold of his guts and squeezed. And you might even know what I'm talking about. His courage failed him. And when he realized what he had done, it was hard for him to go on. I'm sure you have moments in your own life when your fears have stopped you. Perhaps stopped you from speaking up because you are afraid of the retribution. When your anger lashed out, intending to hurt someone that you care about. Or when you've seen another's needs, and you, who could give, chose to hold back, chose to deny that need of that other person. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, it's really hard to think of our not very best moments. I know I try to live up to my very best self every single day. And every day, there are moments when I fail. Not always in my actions. Sometimes it's just in my mind or in my heart. Small things like thinking I'm better than another person. Small things like thinking another person's suffering has nothing to do with me. Small things like withholding from myself comfort or even loving respect. And sometimes we need to acknowledge also those bigger moments of courage failed. When we blamed others for something that we could have or should have taken responsibility for. When we lie, cheat, steal. When we could have said or done something to stop the bully, the sexist dismissal, the racist comment. Think on this. Think on these big things and small things, everyday things, where perhaps you succumbed to fear. So now we have an opportunity to face these moments when courage failed. And this is spiritual work that we do together. Getting real with ourselves, taking fearless inventory of who and what we are, and then, now, we're going to forgive ourselves. Really, forgive. Forgive as Jesus forgave Peter with love and compassion and with a deep and profound understanding of how hard it is to truly live from our convictions. And we're going to learn to forgive as Peter had to learn to forgive himself. First, we forgive ourselves and others, and then we begin again in love. We're heading towards our sung meditation on forgiveness. We're going to make the words of this meditation our own, make them personal, speak from your own heart. And I ask that you stay seated in your chairs for this. You don't even need to open up the hymn book. For this one, there's only one line to sing, and Sue will lead you into it. And when this meditation on forgiveness ends, let us hold each other together in silence for 1 minute. The line that you will be singing is, "We forgive ourselves and each other, and we begin again in love." when a single voice would have made a difference.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time we have struck out in anger without just cause,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For losing sight of our unity,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For those, and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again.
Love lives in the root of the word courage, as it comes from the French le cœur, the heart. The story of Jesus on his final days has always been a story that moves me very deeply. I don't have a strong family religious connection, but I discovered it, I think, as a young adult, and found myself, without even going to church, being pulled into the rhythm, the journey of this last Holy Week. It's a story of tremendous courage to keep going, no matter what is said to you or done to you, no matter who abandons you or hurts you, and no matter how little courage you might have. It's a story of someone who kept going because of love. I imagine standing as Jesus did in the garden alone at night, my friends all asleep, even though I asked them to keep me company because I was afraid and lonely, knowing what I was about to face the next day when the sun arose. I imagine being alone, facing my own mortality, as each of us have these moments of being alone, daytime or the middle of the night, whether we have a partner sleeping next to us or not, we're still really alone. All of us have moments in our lives when we must face that coming day with nothing but the courage of our own convictions. And convictions are more than something that you believe. Convictions are beliefs that you actually will stake your life on, risk death for. I'm not even sure we even know we have convictions until they're tested. We'd like to think we would stand up for those convictions, but we don't really know until we're put to the test. The closest I think that we could all get to are those moments of aloneness in the middle of the long night. So what is it that you cling to in those moments? What gets you through? If Jesus was just a man, then in his struggle of doubt and fear in the garden, he would have had, I suspect, a moment of decision-making. Stay or go. He could have run away, could have killed himself, as Judas did. He could have rejected everything that he had learned and taught and lived for up until that moment. He had a choice. There's always a moment of decision in these situations. Do you cling to faith and choose to welcome your own mortality in the dawning light? Or do you hide from it? Are you moved by responsibility toward the voice crying out for help? Or do you close your window so you can't hear it? Are you moved by injustice to write to your local MP or newspaper when your conscience tells you that something is wrong, something is unjust? Or do you just put on another movie until bedtime? We all have moments of choice, small ones and big ones. Moments when our hearts can be moved with courage or when our hearts' courage fails. Jesus, alone in the garden, he made a choice, and he reached out to his God, and he chose to move forward despite his fear because of love. For him, the love of his Father God. That conviction was rooted deep in love. Love for all of humankind. Norbert Chapek rooted his conviction in the reverence for all life. He had a powerful confidence in each person's capacity for generosity and hope during the dark, dark nights of World War II. Chapek was a small Czechoslovakian man who lived a huge life of courage. He was born into a Catholic family, and as a young man, evolved into a Baptist ministry. His theology continued to develop when he moved to the United States. And there he was drawn to the Unitarian Church because his children were going, and they were just so enthusiastic about the religious education program that they grabbed him and brought him in. And in that church, that Unitarian Church, he discovered a reasoned and liberal faith that matched his evolving theology, and he eventually entered its ministry. In 1921, he returned to Czechoslovakia with his wife, Maja, also a Unitarian minister, and in 20 years, they built a Unitarian movement of 8,000 strong, from basically nothing. He was a man aflame with conviction. Chapek thought that a truly religious person would have the ability to have faith and confidence in a reverence for life. For a reverence for all life. Out of it would come hope and charity or generosity of the self, and would lead to a conscientious life. When the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found Dr. Čapek's gospel of the inherent worth and beauty of every person to be, as the Nazi court records show, too dangerous for the Reich for him to be allowed to live. God, that's an incredible example of the power of conviction. To believe, to truly believe that every person has inherent worth and beauty became politically dangerous. When the political system's power is based on fear as a means to control the population, when it needs people to be suspicious of each other, when it needs enemies within to maintain control, the conviction that all people are equally worthy and all are beautiful is a radical, radical position. Čapek and his daughter were arrested. They were arrested by the Nazis for listening to the BBC foreign radio. And then he was charged with high treason. The latter charge was dismissed as unfounded, but he was still sent to prison. His pre-World War II, pre-Holocaust, sun-drenched belief in the inherent beauty and dignity of every person sustained Norbert through imprisonment, medical torture, and death by poisonous gas. His fellow prisoners in Dachau concentration camp attested to his indomitable spirit. As one Catholic priest who was with him bore witness, Čapek achieved his greatest ministry there among the despairing who lived in the very shadow of death. Without him, we could not have endured. The flower communion we are about to participate in was created by Čapek for his congregation in Prague, and then brought to North America by his wife, Maya. The ceremony speaks to the uniqueness and beauty of each flower being equal to the uniqueness and beauty of each person. This morning, you brought a flower to add to the bouquet, and if you didn't, there are many others. Now you will come up to the front and choose a different flower to take away with you. By exchanging flowers, we show our willingness to walk together in a search for truth, disregarding all that might divide us. Each person takes home a flower brought by someone else, symbolizing our shared celebration of community. This communion of sharing is based on the principles of free will, of love, and the sustaining of a community of diversity. When Reverend Dr. Čapek conducted his flower communion in Prague, he blessed the flowers as messengers of fellowship and love, and he thanked them for their work. May this be so. And let me share with you his words, his prayer for the flower communion. He said, he prayed, "In the name of Providence, which implants in the seed the future of the tree and in the hearts of men and women the longing for people living in human love. In the name of the highest in whom we move and who makes the mother and the father and the brother and the sister what they are. In the name of sages and great religious leaders who sacrificed their lives to hasten the coming of peace and justice. Let us renew our resolution, our convictions. Sincerely, to be real brothers and sisters together, regardless of any kind of bar which estranges one from the other. In this holy resolution, may we be strengthened knowing that we are God's family, that one spirit, the spirit of love, unites us. And may we endeavor for a more perfect and more joyful life. Amen. I invite you now to come forward, starting with the front row at the edge, and when you've picked your flower, to then go down the center aisle back to your seat. Choose a flower that's not one you brought, one that speaks to you of inherent beauty, complexity, and love, that speaks to you without apology of audacious joy. We will do this without music, in silence. Please come forward. It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. Oh, blow ye evil winds into my body's fire, my soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight and everything would seem worthless, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul. My life was worth living. He who has pressed from all sides but remained victorious in spirit is welcomed into the choir of heroes. He who overcame the fetters, giving wing to the mind, is entering into the golden age of the victorious. Both Jesus and Norbert Chapek are huge people, huge stories, and we might feel too small to compare ourselves against them. But we mustn't. Each day that you choose to speak, to do, to move your life rooted in love is a day to be celebrated. A day when your courage has supported your convictions, however small that moment might be.